Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 131. Psalm 131, I said I would take some time and go kind of through some psalms in no particular order, and I think I've done that to some degree here through some of December and now into January, and I think he even started in November. Anyways, I'm thinking now of coming to a conclusion on going through the Psalms and starting next week in the book of Daniel. I think there was a Sunday school class about 5 years ago on the book of Daniel. I'm not sure how long it took them to get through it. And I remember taking a class on the Old Testament prophets and spending a good bit of time in Daniel and then doing a project on the book of Daniel. And I remember I spent the majority of my project on the first half of Daniel. And ran out of time on the second half, and it is significantly different than the first half of the book. You have a lot of prophecy and end times type visions in the second half of the book, which I didn't cover very well in my seminary project, but hopefully we can go through it and see it in some good detail as the Lord allows. So Daniel next week, and we'll see much of what we remember in that first half of the book of the life of Daniel and kind of the exciting things that you remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and some of those neat stories kind of happen at the beginning of the book of Daniel, and then it gets pretty deep in the second part. So we will look at the book of Daniel next week in Sunday evenings. But tonight we'll be here in Psalm 131, and of course, we will keep things on the shorter end with our administrative meeting looming as you, I'm sure, grabbed the papers and hopefully have set them aside so you're not looking at them now. And you look down at Psalm 131 and you say, oh good, only three verses, right? So we won't be here all night, and that's not my purpose. Yet I didn't choose this psalm particularly for that reason. I do appreciate the message of it. You think of 2020, and for many people, it was a difficult year. And, you know, for any of us, really, in our fallen nature, we find ourselves in difficult times from time to time. You know, even if you can say some good things happened in your life in 2020, and I can think of good things that happened in my life, there are stresses that happen, and there are stresses that continue into 2021, and decisions we have to make, and thoughts that we have about these decisions, and knowledge we don't have, and we wonder what we ought to do with those, and it can stress us out, and we can be anxious about it. I think the question that this psalm answers is, what do we need in these times? Peace and quiet. And this psalm shows us how to get it. You know, I think some of us take matters into our own hands often, and we think the best way to get peace and quiet would be, I need to change my circumstances. And that's the problem, you know, whether it be location or relationship or job, church. And you say, those things, if I change my circumstances there, things would just calm down for me. And I say, you know, that might help or might work for a while, but it's not going to last. It won't work. Changing your circumstances isn't the answer. How about numbing the pain or the desire or the anxiety through pharmaceuticals? Right? That is very popular. Anxiety medication is a very popular thing that is prescribed to individuals for any number of reasons. And or maybe not over the counter, but something a little bit more like alcohol or other drugs that people would go to numb the pain. This thinking that I just need to escape some of us who maybe don't go to the drugs or we're avoiding those, we divert in other ways from the pain or from the difficulties in our lives. We go shopping or go online to shop, right? Or maybe you're a hunter and that's your escape. Or video games. You can play those for hours and hours. And that is your escape from kind of the reality that you don't want to face. Here's one that hits close to home for me. How about sports or watching sports, right? Or other hobbies, our ways of escape. Again, these are in themselves not always bad, but they can be masking a greater problem. And we need to take care of that. Now, there's another way in which we divert from this pain or the difficulty of our lives. And hopefully this is not the case with our body of believers, but I think it is with some religions, right? Have I done enough? Have I sacrificed enough of myself? And I'm going to work until I feel better about myself. And you see this religious aspect of giving of self. Even I heard of another story, the Buffalo Bills, after the Bills won against the Ravens. There's a charity that Lamar Jackson, who had to leave the game because of concussion protocol, and the Ravens ended up losing that game. And a lot of the Bills fans reached out to a charity that he used to support when he was in college, and donated to it. Over $150,000, over 7,000 individuals gave to that charity. Right? I think feeling bad for him, for his concussion, and thinking, well, what can we do to show kind of support? And, you know, that's a pretty neat story. But I think in some ways it's people's way to escape or to feel better about themselves. But what does the Bible say? Where do we find peace and quiet? The real solution is found in the Bible, and this is one of those passages that gives us insight to that. We need to turn to Christ. Now, it doesn't say that specifically in Psalm 131, but I think that is parallel to like Matthew 11:28. All you are weary and heavy burdened, come unto me, is what Christ says. And here, this is referring to our Messiah. I think we see this here. So three things are key to us being to being quiet or to turning to Christ. Three things that we need to look at here, divided up by the verses. So we see, well, let's read down through these three verses, this entire psalm. Psalm 131, verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We see, first of all, in verse 1, that we must humbly submit to God. Look at the posture at which David, who's writing this, comes to the Lord. He is humble. He humbly submits to God. My Lord, my heart is not haughty, it's not proud, nor my eyes lofty or arrogant. Pride and arrogance. You know, I think we need to realize here that our greatest enemy is me. And I don't mean that in the sense that if you love yourself more and you treat yourself better, that you will be a better person or that you'll feel better about what you do. You just need to change your attitude about yourself. So your enemy to yourself because you put yourself down too much. No, that's not what this is saying at all. Really, in some ways, it's almost the opposite of that. David here has a view of himself that is nothing. It is a very low opinion of himself. Think about, if something happens to you and you have to defend yourself, or when you're in a situation where you see a performance or maybe someone's serving you and they are doing a very poor job, right? And we become critical of others, and sometimes we become vocally critical about them because of our pride. You know, thinking we're better or over them, or we could do what they're doing very easily, and we see their task as menial, right? And this critical nature in us is because of our pride and our arrogance. We need to be generous and gracious in situations with people who serve us. You know, think of a prime example of this. I think you have that with Job. And we've gone through the book of Job, and throughout much of the book of Job, Job calls on God. He wants a trial. If we would have a judge and I could defend myself, I would stand. I would be innocent, Job says. I have done nothing to deserve this. It's kind of Job's point in it. Right? And his friends argue with him throughout the book. And Job kind of keeps coming back to this. Well, it's not me. That's not it. And I do want to be careful, because in all of this, it says that Job did not sin. Yet we do see a rebuke when the Lord finally does answer. Here Job is wondering the question, why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through these difficult times? Why are these terrible things happening? And the Lord doesn't answer. His response is essentially, Job, who do you think you are? Right? You go into, I think it's 39 and 40, 41, something like that. Those chapters, right, where God is responding. And he responds once, and he speaks of creation, right? He speaks out of a whirlwind for one. And he speaks of the mighty things that God has created. And Job, do you know anything about this? Do you know when the fawn, when the deer delivers a fawn in the springtime? Do you know these things? Do you know all that of creation that I have? And Job, you know, kind of continues here, and he misses the point. So God responds again, and he gives the example of Behemoth and Leviathan. And then it's after this second response that Job gets that he repents, because he is a sinner. You know, when we go through trials in our life, we need to remember that. Who am I to deserve anything? Any good thing we receive from God is a gift. We need to humbly submit to God in these difficult times, when trials come our way, to understand God is in control and He knows what He's doing. Submit to Him. Right? That's what David is saying there at the end of verse 1. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. I trust in God and submit to Him. Second, verse 2, we must quietly be content with God. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. How do you do this? How do you calm and quiet your soul. This idea of calming has the idea of leveling or smoothing, right? Cultivating, in a sense, where you're taking rough ground and you are smoothing it out. Right? There's action in this. How do you actively calm yourself? I think there are some physical things that you can do to calm yourself. And we need to work on those. And then what's interesting, I find this next one here, and quieted my soul. Now, what does that mean? How do you quiet your soul? What is this referring to? It's like if my kids were sitting in this pew here, and they were making too much noise, and I said, Levi, Camille, shh. Right? Now they looked at me like, uh-oh, what did I do? But that's what you are to do to your soul. When you find yourself working up about something, say, shh, that's enough. I'm leaving it to you, Lord. And you tell yourself not to get worked up about it. Quiet your soul. Say, shh, to your soul. You are in control of those actions, of those thoughts. You know, when we say, you know, why is this happening to me? Get a car accident. Shh. Don't you know that I have somewhere to be? I don't have any money to cover that. Shh. Right? You do the next right thing. And you quiet that soul. Thirdly, so we see we must humbly submit in verse 1 to God. Verse 2, we must quietly be content with God. Verse 2 and verse 3, we must continually hope in God. This is a difficult one, right? Especially when you are down or you're in one of these valleys. And you are not hearing the Lord, or you don't see him working, and it seems like he might be working in all other places, but he is silent to you. What do I do then? There's a good example in the psalm previous to this, Psalm 130. Look at verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 130. And this is essentially what he's referring to here. I don't hear the Lord. What am I to do? I'm supposed to hope in the Lord, but he doesn't seem to be there. Verse 5 of Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. What are you to do if you don't see the Lord working or you don't hear him answering your prayers? Continue to pray. Continue to wait. What else can you do? And I don't mean that in the sense that you are without hope. You know, in one sense, what else can you do? And in the other sense, there's nothing better that you could do. That is the one place you need to be. And maybe God is making you wait because he wants you to see that. To depend fully on him. And he's taking you further down that road so that you are 100% sure it was him who did it. Right? You trust in the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, this is a psalm to Israel. And I do understand there's a distinction between the church and Israel. But there's also some similarities, right? Israel is what? God's chosen nation, right? It's chosen people. And we, as New Testament believers, are what? God's chosen people. And he ordained, preordained us before the foundations of the world. Right? And there's nothing within us that desired Him. He drew us to Himself. Oh, chosen one of God, hope in the Lord. From this time, decide tonight and forevermore. You want a quiet soul? You want to be relieved of some of your stresses? I saw Abby was scrolling through Facebook and saw one of these that says, "You're feeling anxious?" You know, it had a picture of a person like watching the news or something with their remote, and then it showed the other half kind of what to do. Click. Right? Turn it off. And, you know, I think that's some of this. And turn to Christ. Because, as verse 1 says, right, I don't concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Now, I'm not saying go in a cave and don't ever look at any current events or do any of that, because that's the pendulum swinging way the other way. But I do think we need to keep it in check and to trust in the Lord that He is in control so that we can quiet our souls. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for the comfort that we have in Your Word, that we are not the first people to go through a difficult year, that if someone here has lost a job or a child or a parent who's going through a disease or some unknown illness, or maybe doesn't even know what's happening but is just feeling off, and there's anxiety about it, there's difficulty, I pray that tonight they would claim these three truths from this scripture. They would remove that pride of themselves. They would quiet their soul. And they would trust in You, persevere in their hope. And that they would see Your calmness come to them. We pray now for the meeting to follow, that it would honor You. And we thank You for blessing this church body. And pray that You'd continue to do so for years and years to come. In Christ's name, amen.